Well, let's try to finish up this replacement theology podcast. This is number 4. So I'll begin by saying there has never been any more than one people of God, even though we can distinguish between two aspects of that one people. Let me say that again. That's pretty important to a lot of people. It may not be to you, it should be, but it isn't necessarily something that is right there at the forefront of your consciousness or your lives. But there has never been any more than one people of God, even though we can distinguish between two aspects of that one people. Romans 11 is helpful here. In fact, the whole chapter of Romans 11. But Israel's disobedience, their idolatry, and all of those things that they did sinfully and sinned against God within, brought about the exile and the scattering. But God is not through with them yet, and that's the overarching message of Romans 11. Israel remains the link between Messiah and the Goyim, that is, us who are Gentiles. Romans 11:11 says, I say then, they did not stumble so as to fall. Pretty graphic way of putting it. Did they? May it never be. That's the strongest way you can say absolutely no, it's not true. But by their transgression, salvation has come to the Gentiles to make them, that is the Hebrews, jealous. Israel has to continue to exist if the next part can be fulfilled. Look at 11:12. Now, if their transgression is riches for the world, and their failure is riches for the Gentile, how much more will their fulfillment be? Then if you go across the page to 11:29, it says, for the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. And that's stated in a context that makes it clear that Israel hasn't dropped out of the picture and been replaced. These are promises, statements, scripture that will be fulfilled. Romans 11:29 says that the people of God, Old Testament, were called and they were gifted, not in the spiritual gifts kind of sense, although some of them were spiritually gifted to do a certain tasks. But the gifts, the law, the word of God, prophets, and so on, are irrevocable, and the calling, the chosenness of the people of God, Old Testament, is irrevocable. Both of those are going to be around forever, or at least until some major changes happen. So Israel is in the midst of what it says in Romans 11:25. For I do not want you, brethren, to be uninformed of this mystery. Mystery, by the way, in Scripture is always something that was previously unknown and could not be known until God revealed it. so that you will not be wise in your own estimation, that a partial hardening has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. There's a partial hardening going on in Paul's time. Nothing has changed in our time. Then the 26th through 27th verses of chapter 11 contain some quotations from Isaiah 59, 20 through 21, and then Jeremiah 31, 33 through 34. I'm going to read the Romans account. 11:26 says, after it speaks about that partial hardening that's happened to Israel, until the fullness of the Gentiles come in, and so all Israel will be saved. That you should not take as literal. Just as it is written, the deliverer will come from Zion, he will remove ungodliness from Jacob. This is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. So there is an incredible amount of information there, but the deliverer coming from Zion removes the ungodliness from Jacob. There's a change that takes place in them, because Jacob is not godly at this point, or at any point in history, actually. Now, that's not speaking about the remnant. They would, of course, be, in that would be godly and righteous. But the thing about Israel all being saved, there is no salvation apart from Jesus Christ, folks. And you should know that, and you should mark that down, and you should be firmly, concretely aware that that's the only way that anyone is saved. And so, all Israel can't possibly mean all Israel, because many of them from Paul's time, from Jeremiah's time, from Isaiah's time, were not saved. God never had any hope that they would be saved, because he knew better. He knew better because of their own bad choices. They rejected the Messiah, and they are not saved. So this can only refer to all Israel and mean the remnant, the people who are a part of Israel. And that could very well be, in eschatological terms, the entirety of Israel at some point, when they finally realize that Messiah has come and that they missed him and now are trying to rectify that by believing in him. Something happens, something cataclysmic is going to perhaps happen, and they will have this absolutely wonderful revelation and become enlightened to the fact that Jesus is the Messiah. He's the only one who can be saved. And they'll get a hold of that and turn in droves. I'm not sure if I want to go any farther with that, but there's a lot more that could be said about that. So those Old Testament verses that are in Isaiah 59, 20 through 21, and Jeremiah 31, 33 through 34, refer to a new covenant that is instigated by God and his restoration of Israel. Israel's future, in other words, and the extension of salvation to them from the Lord are tied together. Romans 11:15, for if their rejection is the reconciliation of the world, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead? Interesting phraseology there. For if their rejection is the reconciliation of the world, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead? Have you read Ezekiel 37 lately? Ezekiel's a great book. We went through it there and at Grace Bible Fellowship, and it's unbelievably interesting to me. But in 37:12 of Ezekiel, therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will open your graves and will cause you to come up out of your graves, my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel. Then you will know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves and caused you to come up out of your graves, my people. I will put my spirit within you and you will come to life, and I'll place you on your own land, and you will know that I, the Lord, have done it, declares the Lord. I don't think that that refers to people who have died as those who are unsaved coming back alive again and then being able to trust Christ. That would be to have a second chance. And the Bible doesn't present that as a possibility. It's not even close to a possibility, for it is appointed once to die and then the judgment. So God is really talking about keeping his promise that he made so long ago, despite all that they have done. What's most significant is that Israel is restored to the land once more. Did you miss that part? Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and done it. When that happens, that's a proof of this, of the veracity, the truthfulness of this, this promise. God keeps his promise regardless of what people do. There are, like we were talking about already, conditional as opposed to unconditional promises, and the promise to Abram was an unconditional one. There are parts of it that he had to do something within, but that is not the main promise, and it was pretty vast, the promise that God gave to him. We've been talking about that long enough now. There's no need to really go back over it again. But Israel is apparently going to be restored to the land once more. So this means that throughout Scripture, there are two groups of players who take the field. And they share so much. And they have a common future, if not a common present at certain points, and even a final drama of history that they both go through and are part of. One people of God in a single program of God, even though we can distinguish certain aspects of one or the other within that one plan. God has never had plan A and plan B. Church is not plan B or C or D or anything else. All who trust Messiah, who is spoken of as the man of promise, has come, you know, who has come, are part of the people of God. I messed that up. Let me say that again a little more clearly. All who trust that Messiah, who was spoken of as the man of promise, have come to be a part of the people of God, the body of Christ. So now you have to figure out what it means about these times of the Gentiles. Because when the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled, Israel will be saved and will enjoy the land, which will be as large as it was promised to Abraham, and also as it was promised in the Torah. What is this times of the Gentiles? A lot of opinion out there about it, but it's something for a future study. And so until we see each other again or get to speak to one another again through various means available to us, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace.